As our study in the book of Ezekiel continues, we're now ready to begin in the fourth chapter. And in this fourth chapter, we have the beginning of the message of doom that the prophet is to give to this people. This is the message he's to teach for the next 6 years. And it was the thing that he found to be bitter to him, the fact that he had to continue to teach the message of doom rather than the good things people like to hear. But nevertheless, this was a necessary message because the people had to know what God had in store for them in order for them to ever get to the point that they could receive the benefits and the blessings of God. Now, one idea that he had to dispel was the fact that the people never really felt that Jerusalem was going to fall. They couldn't believe that there would be a complete captivity, that the nation would cease to exist, that the temple and the services of the temple and the priesthood would no longer have any function. They just couldn't believe this. At this particular time, Zedekiah had been set into power by the Babylonian king, and he seemed to be in favor with Babylonia, and it just seemed that there would be no reason for there to be a destruction of Jerusalem. However, they did not realize that Zedekiah, through his own pride and haughtiness, would find disfavor with the Babylonian king. And this is found in 2 Kings 24, verse 20. And consequently then, as a result of this, Jerusalem then would be ultimately destroyed. So the first vision given here in this fourth chapter of Ezekiel portrays the siege of the city of Jerusalem. He begins in the first verse by saying, "Thou also, son of man, take thee a tile, and lay it before thee, and portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem." Now this word here for tile actually means brick. And it was a very common thing during this time among the Chaldeans to have bricks. And upon these bricks, many times there would be the seal or the stamp of the king, or maybe a scene would be stamped into the brick. Well, he tells Ezekiel to take a tile or a brick and lay it before him, and to portray upon it the city, even Jerusalem. He's to draw a picture of the city of Jerusalem upon this brick. And then he says, verse 2, "And lay siege against it." Now, a siege means that there is an army that attacks the city. This includes several things. It includes the surrounding of the city. It includes the cutting off of the supplies of the city so that they would have a hard time getting food and water. They couldn't send out to get any help from the outside. And usually these could be of a long-standing nature so that the people inside the city had many hardships. They had famines. They had disease. They may even be eating their own children, as we have in the case of Jerusalem in the siege of AD 70. There would be discord among the people, fear, and it's just a very terrible scene. Well, that's what he describes here about Jerusalem. He says in verse 2, "Lay siege against it." And then he describes the things that happen in a siege. "And build a fort against it, and cast a mount against it." Now, to build a fort, this describes some of the things that were commonly done in a siege. They would build tall structures, several stories high, and they would roll them up to the walls of the city, and then the soldiers could climb up these structures and get up to the top of the walls and be able to conduct the warfare or the attack of the city. So that would be adequately described here by build a fort against it and cast a mount against it. Another method used by armies was to pile up a mound of dirt that would be as high as the wall of the city, and then they could climb up this mound of dirt and reach the top of the wall and there carry on the warfare. So he says, build a mount, cast a mount against it. Then he says, set the camp also against it. Now, to set the camp against it means that there would be multiple groups of soldiers that would be surrounding the walls and camped out there in a permanent encampment waiting for the city to capitulate. Then the last phrase of verse 2, and set battering rams against it round about. Now the battering ram was an engine of war that was used back during this time and for centuries. in which large logs would be so constructed and suspended from beams so that they could be battered against the walls of the city or the gates of the city and break them down. And it wasn't until the time of the Romans that we actually have the head of a ram carved onto the end of these logs. So this doesn't mean that they had the figure of a ram on them, but they were used for this purpose of battering down the walls and the gates. So he has a picture now of the city in siege, and he's laid out the various means and devices of war that armies used when they would make siege to a city, so as to give the true picture of Jerusalem being besieged by armies. Verse 3, "Moreover, take thou unto thee an iron pan, and set it for a wall of iron between thee and the city, and set thy face against it, and it shall be besieged, and thou shalt lay siege against it. This shall be a sign to the house of Israel." Now, while Ezekiel was acting out or experiencing this vision, he was to take this iron pan, which is described kind of like what we would think of as a griddle, and he was to set it up between himself and the city for a wall, and put his face against it. And this was symbolic then of the siege, and here again, this is another item that was employed by the armies that besieged the city, in that they made some kind of a metal shield behind which one or a group of soldiers could stand or crouch, and they could fire arrows from behind this metal shield. So they could be carrying on warfare while protecting themselves behind this shield. And this is very similar to what he describes here, is this wall of iron that Ezekiel was setting up in the form of a pan or a griddle. And it just further carries out the details of the siege that the army would carry out against this city of Jerusalem. And so he says in the conclusion of verse 3, "This shall be a sign to the house of Israel." So we see then Ezekiel making this portrayal of the city upon a brick or a tile, and all of the elements of warfare around it in siege, and the very details of the weapons described. And this is to be a sign to the house of Israel that Jerusalem definitely would be besieged, and it also will ultimately end then in the destruction of the city, the carrying away into captivity of the people, and the annihilation of the temple and the articles of the priesthood. In this fourth chapter of Ezekiel, he gives three terrible signs. And so this, from verse 1 through verse 3 about this besieging of the city of Jerusalem was the first sign. The second sign begins in the fourth verse, in which he describes how long the people would have to be in captivity. And the length of time that he describes here is probably a figurative time, and it's most difficult for us to be real specific about it, but we're going to try to apply it to the best of our ability. So beginning in the fourth verse, "Lie thou also upon thy left side, and lay the iniquity of the house of Israel upon it. According to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon it, thou shalt bear their iniquity. For I have laid upon thee the years of their iniquity, according to the number of the days, 390 days, so shalt thou bear the iniquity of the house of Israel." So we see here then that one day is equal to 1 year in this time that Ezekiel was to lie upon his left side. And this is symbolic of the time that Israel would be punished. And there have been a lot of various calculations as to when this 390 days or 390 years applied. Some have said, well, this was from the time that Jeroboam rebelled until the time Ezekiel began to write, and that was the 390-day period. We're going to find later on that there's a 40-day period, or 40-year period, that applies to Judah. And some say that that was from the time that Josiah began his reforms until the time of Ezekiel. However, it doesn't seem that this passage is referring to the time of their rebellion and the time of their sin, but it seems that it's referring more to the time of their punishment and of their chastisement for having turned against God. And it may be, in order to get the true significance, we have to put these two numbers together. So let's go ahead and read verses 6 and 7. And when thou hast accomplished them, lie again on thy right side, and thou shalt bear the iniquity of the house of Judah 40 days. I have appointed thee each day for a year. So we see here 40 years then are symbolic of this time that he would bear the iniquity of the house of Judah. To bear the iniquity simply means that he would bear the time of their punishment. And here again, he said that each day represents a year, so this should be 40-year period for Judah. And these are probably symbolical times. When you put the 390-year period with the 40-year period, you have 430 years. Now, we learn in Exodus 12, verses 40 and 41, that 430 years was exactly, even to the day, exactly the length of time that the children of Israel were in captivity in Israel. And we also find that in the book of Hosea, he speaks of the Assyrian captivity as being the Egyptian captivity. So that this captivity of 430 years in Egypt was really symbolical of captivity in general. Just as we find in later times, the Babylonian captivity is symbolical of any kind of captivity in sin in general. So, when you put the two numbers together and have 430 years, this is probably symbolical then of the captivity of the entire nation, showing that they would all be in captivity eventually, that it wasn't going to just affect a part of them, but it would affect all of them, just as the 430 years in captivity during that time they were in Egypt affected all the nation. That was a time of total captivity. That was a time when they had no other nation, no other home, no other country to call theirs, but they were a people without a country living in a state of captivity. And so there are many similarities of the Egyptian captivity and the total captivity then that these people were now experiencing and would continue to experience during the time of Ezekiel that make this particular number of years most symbolical. It seems that Israel to the north had the greater number of years and that Judah to the south had the lesser number of years. And this, of course, was true in the actual time of the captivity. Israel had already been in captivity some 125 years at the time this was happening. And here part of Judah hadn't even gone into captivity yet. So there is a difference there. We could try to ascribe some other significances to these years and to the differences in the time and to the 40-year period especially that Judah was to experience. But there's a danger of getting into conjecture. Some, for example, have said that this 40-year period that Judah experienced was symbolical of the 40 years in the wilderness, which is possible. Others have said that it's symbolical of the last 40 years of their captivity in Egypt, which was during the first 40 years of Moses' lifetime, and it was the most bitter part of their captivity. But here again, we might get into some conjecture that is not intended to be here. So let's suffice it to say that there is a 430-year period when these numbers are combined that would apply to both kingdoms, the northern and the southern kingdom, implying that they would both be in total captivity. Then he says in verse 7, therefore thou shalt set thy face toward the siege of Jerusalem, and thine arm shall be uncovered, and thou shalt prophesy against it. Here's the conclusion. There's going to be this siege of Jerusalem. He's to set his face toward it. That is, he's to put his mind toward that now. That's the thing that's at hand. That's the message he's trying to get across to the people. And he says, thine arm shall be uncovered. That is, you'll go ahead with the siege. Symbolically, you will go ahead with this attack upon the city and upon the remainder of the people in that kingdom of Judea. And he says, and thou shalt prophesy against it. You're going to go ahead and show how these things are going to happen through your prophesying. Verse 8, and behold, I will lay bands upon thee, and thou shalt not turn thee from one side to another till thou hast ended the days of thy siege. So he's simply telling Ezekiel that he's going to bind him into this position so that he will have to carry it out. He can't cut it short. The siege has to last for a specific length of time, and the iniquity that he bears for northern and southern kingdom is going to have to be carried out to the full length of time that is symbolically represented by these two periods of 390 and 40 years. Beginning in the ninth verse, he starts to give the third awful sign that is given in this chapter. This sign will tell about the scarcity of food and water. And it really is divided into two parts. One has to do with the condition of the people while they are in captivity, and the other has to do with the scarcity of food during the siege of Jerusalem. And so talking about the people while in captivity is the first part of this sign. In verse 9 he says, take thou also unto thee wheat and barley and beans and lentils and millet and fitches, and put them in one vessel, and make thee bread thereof, according to the number of the days that thou shalt lie upon thy side, 390 days shalt thou eat thereof. Now, the situation here is that they are to eat unclean food. They mixed all these different kinds of vegetables together, which was against the law. The law didn't permit this. They cooked them all in one vessel, and this was the kind of food they were going to have to eat during the time that they were in captivity. And it's symbolical of the fact that their food could not be blessed by the Levitical priesthood and the sacrifices that went with their service to God. There was no temple around which they could rally to sacrifice and devote themselves to God. And so they were going to be doing things that were contrary to the law. They were going to be doing things that were against what the moral conscience of the nation would have them to do, even though they had so greatly gone into sin. This was going to go against their training and the practices that they had known from youth on up, and it was a result of the fact that they were living among heathen people, among people that didn't know God, and so they were going to have their own ways sacrificed or polluted by these heathenistic situations and practices. They would eat like the other people ate, and it would be against their training as the true people of God. And he said this would be happen to them according to the number of the days, that is the 390 days that they would have to do this, or the total length of the captivity, which would be 390 years symbolically. Verse 10, and thy meats which thou shalt eat shall be by weight, 20 shekels a day, from time to time shalt thou eat it. This verse indicates that there is going to be a scarcity. And of course, anytime there's a scarcity, then food and water has to be measured and doled out according to precise measurements. And in this case, it's weighed. Thy meat which thou shalt eat shall be by weight. Now, meat here is a term for food in general, and it doesn't mean just animal food. It can very definitely mean vegetable food. And when it is spoken of as being weighed by 20 shekels a day, It's a little difficult to tell exactly what 20 shekels is. Some say it's about 8 ounces. Some say it's 5/6 of a pound. But we can see that it's not a lot of food. And it is a precise measurement, so that it is indicating that there's going to be a scarcity and having to be a saving of the food. So 20 shekels a day, from time to time shalt thou eat it. And that means that they will have to do this at a regular time. Maybe every day they measure it, or twice a day, or twice a week. I don't know exactly, but there were precise times for measuring and eating the food. You couldn't just eat any time you wanted to. You had to wait until the time came. Now, this is also described in Leviticus 26:26, in which it is indicated that they would have to measure in times of scarcity. And it's also referred to in Revelation 6, verse 6, as measuring in times of scarcity. So this is symbolical then of their not having enough food. And the next verse is going to talk about their water. It'll also have to be measured. Not enough food, not enough water. They have to be measured. They have to be measured on a regular time-to-time basis. They can't eat any time they want to, or any amount they want to, because there's a scarcity. So we see that in the captivity, not only would there be a polluting of the kind of food they ate, but also there would be a scarcity of the amount, at least during part of the captivity. And this is a symbolical thing showing the disagreeable situation of the captivity. Our time has expired at this time, so we'll conclude at that point. Thank you.